EBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another day of questions for Ghislaine Maxwell. The woman convicted of sex trafficking young women for Jeffrey Epstein, as calls continue for more transparency in the case. Andy Farmer is one of multiple women who says she was lured in by Maxwell and then sexually abused by Epstein when she started in 16.
I think that to be told that suddenly she's being brought to the table as a potential source of information when she's previously been charged with perjury by the government is very confusing and unsettling.
The U.S. has cut short Gaza ceasefire talks, accusing Hamas of lacking good faith in Gaza. Aid groups say children are starving to death under Israel's blockade. France says it will formally recognize Palestinian statehood at the U.N. in September. The FCC is expected approving Paramount's $8 billion merger with Skydance following CBS's $16 million settlement with the Trump administration over a 60 Minutes piece. This is ABC News.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Hulk Hogan is no longer with us. The man who tried to fix wrestling matches to protect his image, notoriously used horrible racial slurs, organized a fake presidential campaign, joked about body slamming Kamala Harris, stonewalled a wrestler's union, took steroids, allegedly caused the breakup of a friend's marriage, and falsely claimed to play bass for Metallica, has passed away. Those offering tributes include the president, who says he will be missed, he was MAGA all the way, and the lovable Vince McMahon, who said Hogan was a global phenomenon. I guess those are tributes. Hulk Hogan was 71. Well, the people begged for it, and Hollywood listened. As a result, there will be a new Air Bud. In the first Air Bud, a young grieving boy befriends a dog who he finds out is great at basketball. In the new Air Bud, a young grieving boy finds a VHS tape of his father's dog, then befriends the same breed of dog who is great at playing basketball. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Baseball tonight in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A special night at the ballpark. The Brewers open a home series against the Marlins today, followed by a home run derby. Over 25 former players will be on hand, including Ryan Braun, Corey Hart, J.J. Hardy, and Prince Fielder, all to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the opening of Miller Park, now American Family Field. NBA, Damian Lillard says he has great memories of playing alongside Giannis, but admits he was shocked when the Bucks waived him after just 2 years with the team. NFL, at the Packers training camp, running back Marshawn Lloyd finally back on the practice field after a long rookie season plagued with injuries, then surgery to remove his appendix in December.
It's fun, like the little kid in the candy store, man. It's exciting. You know, last year was a lot of watching, and now it's being out there, being able to be tired again, trying to catch my breath. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be out there.
That's Packers running back Marshawn Lloyd with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We're on the road at WGBW in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, talking about all things Green Bay. And also, the Packers are back at training camp. We'll discuss it. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, our high in the low 80s here this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy. We'll drop down into the mid to upper 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a few scattered thunderstorms, and there will be some smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires this weekend. Our high tomorrow, low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, free ticket Friday, a 4-pack of tickets up for grabs for the hottest team in baseball. And Dan Schaefer is going to help us recombobulate. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Pretty comfortable start to a finally Friday morning. Good morning, everyone. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Of course, in agriculture, weather is what we focus in on. Today, it looks like we might start off with a little bit of fog, but that'll burn off. Sunny day on the way today. Highs near 84. A little bit of a breeze out of the north, about 5 miles an hour. Tonight, we do have a sliver of a chance of a shower or a thunderstorm, probably closer to Saturday morning. Overnight lows down to 67. For Saturday, another chance of showers or thunderstorm in the morning. High temperatures around 85. And then Sunday, another hot, sticky day on the way. Looks like sunny and 90 degrees on Sunday. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has the weather details you're looking for as we roll our way through a Friday. A couple other tidbits we want to bring to you as we roll through the end of the week. Sherry Black, Executive Director and Chief Executive Officer of the Wisconsin State Fair. Looking forward to seeing you at the Wisconsin State Fair. That event, of course, comes up July 31st through August 10th. One thing you might want to pay attention to, the Wisconsin State Fair wants your opinion on some of the facilities that need upgrades at the Wisconsin State Fair. They need to prioritize that. We're going to have a story with Stephanie Hoff and Sherry Black as the morning unfolds. And another element of the Wisconsin State Fair that we look forward to is the team at Midwest Farm Report sharing the century and sesquicentennial farm stories with you that will be honored Tuesday of the Wisconsin State Fair. Ari Schlimgen has visited with a family in Jefferson County, ready to celebrate their 100th anniversary. All those stories, plus a look at the markets on the way your Friday.
Thanks to Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, you'll have dairy all around you during the best 11 days of summer. We're talking about the Wisconsin State Fair, July 31st through August 10th, where DFW can be spotted advancing the next generation of dairy men and women. Board member Jody Miller tells us how dairy farmers take care of the youth in their community.
We supply t-shirts to the youth. They get out a very powerful fact. Something we're really proud of is that 99% of dairy farmers in Wisconsin are family owned. It's a great reminder of who's really behind Wisconsin dairy. We are involved in the judging of educational dairy exhibits, and we sponsor youth showmanship awards. And it's a really great way to celebrate the next generation of dairy leaders that are coming. We involve farmers. Farmers are real active in this.
Jody Miller says you can find more details about what Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has on the agenda for the state fair at wisconsindairy.org.
Independence Day has passed, which usually means that the meat industry goes into a lull after the big grilling day. But this year, there's an interesting phenomenon taking place. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo. And Jeff Swenson, a meat and livestock specialist with DATCAP, is here to give an inside look into why meat markets are holding strong when it comes to beef and pork, as well as some tips for meat producers as we continue to move through uncertain times.
It's interesting because we typically would see beef and pork demand change. I wouldn't say that it necessarily goes down, but we move on the beef side, we typically move away from those whole muscle cuts after the 4th of July. So we're not grilling ribeyes and T-bones. People tend to eat less, eat lighter meals after the 4th of July. And that means that grilling out changes. It's a lot more hamburgers, hot dogs, bratwurst, things like that, especially in Wisconsin. We really like our sausages. With that said, beef demand domestically and pork demand, for that matter, have stayed very, very strong coming out of the holidays.
Yeah, that's a interesting kind of phenomenon, because usually, you would think that the demand might decrease a bit because everyone's done with their big family grill outs from the 4th of July. And I mean, when we look at that, we also now have new tariffs enacted on China and Canada, and that might hurt some exports. Are you hearing any reports of that or seeing anything?
I think it's you know, tariff news and export sales are something that we've been talking about for weeks now. And we did see the United States Meat Export Federation came out with their May totals, and we did absolutely see that beef and pork exports were lower. But they still work hard to try to develop markets that maybe are just emerging, and that maybe the tariffs aren't as impactful. So we'll wait and see what happens there. But it is definitely something that's being talked about in the markets on a very, very regular basis right now.
And to kind of go along with that, has there been an increase in that domestic demand? I know you're saying it's still high for this pork and beef, but has there been any increase due to needing to use more domestically, or have you heard of any new markets opening up for our meat here in the U.S.?
Yeah, let's tackle the domestic supply or domestic demand first. I think that there's a couple of factors that we need to keep in mind. So it's difficult to make Americans eat more meat than they're already eating, although consumption of meat, especially red meat, has gone up slightly over the past couple of years. We really saw a change in eating habits, I think, during that COVID period of 2020, where people are now becoming more meat friendly. So meat per capita consumption has increased, but it's difficult to make Americans eat more beef. That number, that per capita number per pound or by pound, typically stays the same. It changes. They might eat more pork than beef, depending on price. They might eat more chicken than red meat when that price is attractive. But getting Americans to eat even more meat than they do now is really an uphill battle. And then we need to remember the type of products that we do export. So when we look at exporting the lower value items that U.S. customers tend to shy away from, so we export a lot of tongue and short plate and liver when it comes to beef and what we call entrails or intestine when it comes to pork. It would be difficult to make Americans change their eating habits to eat more of that. So we really look for export markets to add value to our livestock by exporting what we would call lower priced items into those markets. So it's going to be difficult if exports continue to decrease. It's going to be difficult for Americans to eat our way out of the challenge.
And now if we look at a meat market that is a little less common, with that being lamb, last time we talked, the lamb markets were holding strong, surprisingly, at that time of year. What have you been seeing recently as far as that?
I think counter-cyclical or counter-seasonal trends are going to be the main thing to take away from our talk today, Ben, because we are seeing lamb prices that did come down. We'd expect them to this time of year, but now they're up again over 2024 levels and well above the five-year average. So I'm hearing reports that the packers were expecting lambs to be market ready right now. They haven't shown up to market yet, so we're a little bit tight on supply. We're importing less lamb than we did this time last year. So there's a couple of factors that actually are fairly bullish for the lamb market. And we don't export a lot of lamb. In fact, we import much more than we export. But exports have been up a little bit to vacation destinations like the Bahamas. I think that we have found a niche with U.S. lamb to get into some of those all-inclusive resorts and things like that. And that's been helpful as far as export sales go.
And right there, you are mentioning export sales are helping these markets, but is any of it because of consumer trends, maybe consumers wanting to use this lamb meat instead of as a substitute instead of some others?
That typically doesn't happen. So consumers don't typically switch from other proteins to lamb because lamb is a more expensive protein. Now, I say typically, and I think I used the word typically a couple of times there, Ben, because right now we are seeing some consumers pick lamb over other proteins. And I think that, we're seeing a little bit of a upward trend in meals prepared at home. And when we see that, people tend to get cook at home fatigue, if you will. So they get tired of making the same things over and over again. So they try new things. We saw lamb demand go up during COVID just because of that. And right now, I think that lamb being a more expensive or higher priced protein is competitive with beef. And if it's not competitive with beef, the price of lamb is going up much less or slower than beef. So I think that some people are looking at lamb as an alternative right now.
And if we shift more to talking to the farmers here in Wisconsin, what are some of the things that they should be looking for to better prepare themselves for the future when they're looking at markets or possible trends?
You know, I wish that I had started to keep track of how many farmers and small meat processors have talked to me or called me just this week asking, you know, what can I expect going forward? And no one really has a crystal ball, but we know that there's going to be volatility. When prices are high, it increases the opportunity or the chances of, volatile markets. Generally, the higher the price, the larger price swings we see. And we always need to keep in mind that there's an old adage for agricultural markets that still apply, and that's that prices take the stairs up and the elevator down. And I don't say that to scare anyone, but prices typically come down much faster than they go up. So, you know, now that cattle numbers are tight and cattle producers are looking ahead, all things the same, the fundamentals are there for strong prices for the next year and a half, 2 years at least. I even think that there's a possibility that beef production will decrease when we start to retain more heifers. Eventually, heifers will be retained. Beef production will increase. We'll see cattle prices come down and, probably beef prices at the retail level as well. And for all producers, I think that we need to remember black swan events. It's a term that we really didn't use that much prior to 2020 in, COVID-19, but New World screwworm that we've mentioned, PRRS and PVD, African swine fever, and always the wild card of consumer demand and trade issues can influence those markets. So staying abreast of those or finding sources that can boil that down for you is very helpful. And knowing your cost of production and your break even is always a good first step in a marketing plan. So it's not always about hitting the home run, but a strong swing to make sure that you're covering your cost of production and locking in a profit is really what producers should be doing rather than trying to top the market every time.
Swanson also says that having a strong relationship with your marketer will help you stay afloat during these uncertain times. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. An unwelcome surprise for Wisconsin farmers looking to apply for the Federal Rural Energy for America program, or REAP. The popular program helps rural small businesses and farmers invest in money-saving energy efficiency upgrades and clean energy. But the application window that was supposed to open July 1st was abruptly closed by the USDA. The agency says it's delaying the grant application window. The EPA is awarding a $700,000 grant to help Kenosha County pay for the final phase of restoration of the Pike River. Crews are restoring banks and habitat along the river and planting native pollinator-friendly plants. The project is aimed at improving the quality of water flowing into Lake Michigan. For a deep dive into environmental issues impacting Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I've been trying to learn sheep's head for 40 years. My father-in-law is still a card counter, knows what everybody has. It is so easy to go, oh gosh, I still don't know who the partner is. And is that a trump card or is it not? And so I'm still asking myself all these questions while they're busy taking all of my nickels. The one thing that got me where they allow me to play is getting the app. For all the technology that's out there, that is one of the positive notes.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 97.9 WGBW.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr joins the show with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Find him online, compeer.com. I'm finding him now, Stumacher Ag Meteorologist, along with us. I was asking you about anybody opening up wheat fields. You said that's just early talk right now, huh?
Yeah, I've seen guys that have been out, and I've heard talk of guys that have been out, but nothing beyond that.
Yeah, all right. Well, if you've got something to add, the talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. This is hardly ideal wheat combining weather.
No, we've got way too much humidity.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about what we've got coming this weekend.
Well, we get a little break from talking about rain today. That front dropped southeastern Wisconsin late yesterday and last night. Just kind of fell apart as it dropped south. There's a line of rain this morning from north central Ohio into Indiana, down into central Illinois and northern Missouri, but the rain's pulled away from Wisconsin. I did get a couple of rainfall reports yesterday, 0.8 inches at Wausau, 0.11 inches at Green Bay, and then 0.1 inches at Fond du Lac in Milwaukee and 0.2 inches at Mercine. The system just kind of fell apart, left the state. It's off to our south this morning. We get a break, but in southeast and east central Wisconsin, there's an air quality alert until 11 p.m. tonight. That's also in effect in far northwest Wisconsin, Park Falls and Hayward, with the air quality alert. So there is that smoke in the air, a lot more of it in the north. I think many of us will notice it, that the sky has that hazy look. We get a break today. This front's off to our south. It will return north as a warm front. Some small rain chances trying to push up later tomorrow. And otherwise, we turn the temperatures up for Sunday. The front then starts to pull in out of the northwest. Rain starts to be a possibility as we look on towards Sunday evening, and still very warm weather into early next week. I'll have forecast details after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
All right, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right. Well, we talk about a little patchy fog here and there. And, of course, that air quality alert in the east, central, and southeast and far northwest parts of the state. Now, I'm expecting temps today, the low to mid-80s, as winds will become a little more easterly, about 5, not much of a breeze. Southern Wisconsin with a very slight rain chance, very late tonight or just into Saturday. In the north, just a few clouds around. I'd expect more clouds in the south. A lot of us in the mid-60s overnight. With east breezes, tomorrow that rain chance in the south, some clouds there, more sun elsewhere, and still fairly warm. Low to mid-80s on Saturday, a little drier Sunday. Here's where the heat turns on, and we look up to be the very upper 80s or a low 90, Pam. South breezes at 5. That front out of the west could mean a little rain chance Sunday night, and then probably on toward Tuesday, we have another round of some rain.
All right, buddy, have a good weekend. Stu Muck joining us with our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of the Maggie Dawn Show, where she talks with UW-Madison's Dr. Chuck Nicholson.
Let's talk about the labor market and sort of like the 1-2 punch that is affecting the agricultural industry, specifically farmers and dairy farmers here in Wisconsin. Not only do you have this chaos, this uncertainty, this much higher expense, much lower appetite from the people that we sell our dairy products to buy them because it is reciprocal tariffs, hence a trade war is what it's called. We have that punch, and we have this 1-2 punch coming from the Trump administration. Frankly, looking at worker shortages this summer, potentially. We're looking at these massive cuts to the Supplemental Nutritional and Food Assistance Program, or Emergency Food Assistance, SNAP, where farmers in Door County and in every county in Wisconsin where there are farmers would sell directly into places that were providing school lunches. Those programs are being gutted. Is this really kind of a perfect storm that Donald Trump has created for farmers?
So we have the possibility you mentioned of lower prices because we can't sell as much of our product outside of the U.S. We have the, and actually through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Programs, we actually sell a fair amount of dairy products through those kinds of food and nutrition programs, including the school lunch and school breakfast programs. And then we have the possibility of increased costs for equipment and some other inputs. And then we also have the possibility of both labor shortage and higher wage costs related to immigration policy. So if you kind of put that together, the package is not a sort of a rosy picture. In any situation that you can think of, we may have lower prices, we may have higher input costs. Those are things that have a direct impact on the margins for dairy farmers and other farmers in the state. And actually, we could say the same thing related to higher input costs and lower market prices for dairy processors, the folks who make cheese and put it in the packages and take it to the grocery store or take it to your local pizza restaurant. So the combination of these things is not working favorably. I guess one of the things that I kind of like to point out to people is that the policies that we have in place are really more kind of collateral damage when we think about what's going on with agriculture. They're not designed to address problems in agriculture really specifically. They're not designed to help policies in agriculture. They're designed to affect kind of these bigger macro and global politics type power type issues. And so agriculture is not kind of in the driver's seat when it comes to thinking about how they're going to be affected by the various policies that are being discussed right now.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another day of questions for Ghislaine Maxwell, the woman convicted of sex trafficking young women for Jeffrey Epstein, as calls continue for more transparency in the case. And a farmer is one of multiple women who says she was lured in by Maxwell and then sexually abused by Epstein when she started in 16.
I think that to be told that suddenly she's being brought to the table as a potential source of information when she's previously been charged with perjury by the government is very confusing and unsettling.
The U.S. has cut short Gaza ceasefire talks, accusing Hamas of lacking good faith. In Gaza, aid groups say children are starving to death under Israel's blockade. France says it will formally recognize Palestinian statehood at the U.N. in September. The FCC is expected approving Paramount's $8 billion merger with Skydance following CBS's $16 million settlement with the Trump administration over a 60 Minutes piece. This is ABC News.
Baseball tonight in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A special night at the ballpark. The Brewers open a home series against the Marlins today, followed by a home run derby. Over 25 former players will be on hand, including Ryan Braun, Corey Hart, J.J. Hardy, and Prince Fielder, all to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the opening of Miller Park, now American Family Field. NBA, Damian Lillard says he has great memories of playing alongside Giannis, but admits he was shocked when the Bucks waived him after just 2 years with the team. NFL, at the Packers training camp, running back Marshawn Lloyd finally back on the practice field after a long rookie season plagued with injuries, then surgery to remove his appendix in December.
It's fun, like a little kid in a candy store, man. It's exciting. You know, last year was a lot of watching, and now it's being out there, being able to be tired again, trying to catch my breath. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be out there.
That's Packers running back Marshawn Lloyd. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We're on the road at WGBW in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, talking about all things Green Bay. And also, the Packers are back at training camp. We'll discuss it. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, our high in the low 80s here this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy. We'll drop down into the mid to upper 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a few scattered thunderstorms, and there will be some smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires this weekend. Our high tomorrow, low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
Are you or a loved one facing addiction? The Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline offers free and confidential support 24/7. Powered by 211 Wisconsin, local trained specialists can help connect you with local service providers for treatment, peer support, harm reduction tools, and more. Call 211, text your zip code to 898-211 or chat at 211wisconsin.org. Help is waiting. Sponsored by United Way of Wisconsin.
Matt Nair on air.
Kareen Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Kareen, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent segment of the Maggie Dawn Show about a proposed bill that would affect local farmers.
Folks, if you're just joining us, I'm joined this half hour by Senator Brad Pfaff of the 32nd State Senate District. He has introduced three key pieces of legislation this cycle to help support Wisconsin farmers and families. Let's talk a little bit about a few of the bills that you've introduced this year. I want to start with the most recent one because it's so incredibly important in light of what's going on federally. It is the Agricultural Purchase Program. Tell folks a little bit about it.
I did introduce legislation that, again, links consumers with our family farmers. It recognizes that this piece of legislation that was jammed through Congress last week is going to have an impact, and I would say a negative impact, on too many individuals that through no fault of their own are seeking food assistance at different times in their life. And so what this piece of legislation does is very simple. It provides grants to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, and then the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture would work with local food organizations in order to provide financial assistance. And those local food organizations then would contract directly with local farmers to receive the bring in the food that they seek. May it be meats, may it be milk, may it be cheeses, may it be maple syrup, whatever it may be. And so, again, it is trying to broaden out the supply chain as far as with agriculture. And at the same time, it's linking family farmers with consumers. And I think that is so very important. And what it's also doing is it recognizes during when there are challenges and dips in the marketplace and people are down on their luck, that we're just not throwing people to the street. We're recognizing the fact in a wealthy nation and a state like Wisconsin that grows food, we want to make sure that we can feed our neighbors.
People, because we have been rightly focused on the big brutal bill, as well as the state's biennial budget, people forget that one of the first things that Donald Trump did was cut all kinds of aid programs willy-nilly through executive orders, and it ended up immediately hurting Wisconsin farmers because we literally had food rotting in storage houses, not getting to the people that need the food. This most recent bill is called the Agricultural Purchase Program. It's a bill to establish a $30 million fund within the Department of Agriculture, again, to make sure that families in need of emergency food assistance in the state get it, and that they get that food assistance from our family farms.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
2011 Big Ten Championship game when Wisconsin beat Michigan State 42-39.
Helping you start your finally Friday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. You know, the Wisconsin State Fair is on the horizon, and the Midwest Farm Report is really excited to be a part of it. We're sharing the stories of families all across the state that have had their farms in their family for 100 or 150 years. This morning, Aubrey Schlimgen takes us to Jefferson County for a century celebration. Sherry Black is the Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director of the Wisconsin State Fair. Of course, she's busy right now. Stephanie Off got a chance to visit with her about some of the items that they're looking to improve at the Wisconsin State Fair, including some of the livestock space. That's another story we've got on the way. Really glad you're along with us on this, the 25th day of July. Did you know on this day back in 1978, the world's first test tube baby was born? Her name, Louise Joy Brown, and she was actually the first person to be conceived using in vitro fertilization or IVF technology. That's something that's fairly common today, but it was brand new and a newsmaker on this day back in 1978. On this day in 1969, the Oshkosh Airport was named for S.J. Whitman, Whitman Field. Did you know that he was an aircraft designer, an inventor, and for 38 years was America's premier race pilot? Just sending that out for all you folks that are enjoying EAA in Oshkosh. There's a story for you on S.J. Whitman and why that Oshkosh Airport is named after him. One of his planes, as a matter of fact, is in the Smithsonian, in case you wondered. Happy birthday, we've got one, can you believe it? Matt LeBlanc, Joey on Friends, turns 58 today. And now you know. Well, as I mentioned, the Wisconsin State Fair is coming up. July 31st is opening day. Sherry Black, Executive Director and Chief Executive Officer at Wisconsin State Fair, is excited to see you. And they're going to be asking you a few questions about improvements around the grounds. Stephanie Hoff's got the details.
A lot to look forward to in Ag Village this year at the Wisconsin State Fair, July 31st through August 10th in West Allis. Always a pleasure to visit with Sherry Black, CEO of Wisconsin State Fair Park, and all that goes on at the grounds, including the state fair. This event in particular is near and dear to Sherry. It's something she's been a part of since she was a little girl.
Yes, I began showing at the Waukesha County Fair. I did dairy, pigs, various projects and cultural arts, and then I came here to show dairy when I was 13. And I was the director at Waukesha County Fair for 15 years, so that's really where my career started and made the move here in 2016.
you make sure that agriculture remains a key component of the Wisconsin State Fair. Obviously, there's so much to do between the food and the entertainment and the music, but agriculture remains a pretty key piece of this fair.
It does. And, you know, I understand that several state fairs maybe have more of an agricultural base than what we do because of our proximity, of course. We're not in a very rural area. We're quite urban. But that doesn't mean that we can't be just as strong as they are in our agriculture message and making sure that we are putting agriculture number one so that people understand where their food is coming from.
Let's talk about the ways in which agriculture education is a key component. Tell me about some of the offerings that we can enjoy while we're here.
Anything that is over in Egg Village is going to provide great education. A number of our youth put together different displays that will help educate the public. But going through Wisconsin Products Pavilion, that's a great place to learn about where your food's coming from because you eat your way through and everything that's in there is something that's from Wisconsin.
There are also some new renovations made at State Fair Park, all around the park, but in the Agriculture Village as well.
There are, and I think a lot of your listeners especially understand the barns, the four barns that we have up on the north side of the Coliseum. And if you wanted to go to the east, it was kind of a steeper hill, and then there were some wonky steps that came out from that last barn. We have completely changed that now. We have, it's called a switchback, and this is what allows accessibility. It's kind of a ramp that goes back and comes back in a roundabout way, so to speak. We now have these great monument signs throughout the park that we just implemented over there. So there's one for youth exhibits and now one for Agriculture Village. And I feel like that's just a really great way for us to be welcoming people in and for them to really feel like they're part of Egg Village. But I'm hoping that pulls people in because they may have walked by in the past on their way down to Spin City because they're on Grandstand, it's busy. They don't realize what's over there. I've actually had some people tell me they didn't know we had animals. I know, isn't that shocking? And especially the amount of people that we get on Grandstand, it's so important for them to know that this is part of Agriculture Village and we want you to come in and check it out.
And it's not just improvements that we get to look forward to this year. There are some plans in the pipeline for next year's fair and the fairs after. More improvements on the way for the agriculture barns.
Yes. So we, in this latest capital budget that was just passed, we requested $4 million to conduct our architecture and engineering process. So that means that we go out and we look at different areas of what we want to design, what we think it should look like. So the biggest part right now is our swine barn is in dire need of improvements. So our ultimate goal is we would like to take the area of the swine barn and that area just north of it, as well as where the poultry tent sits, the sheep and goat barns, Discovery Barnyard, that whole area, we would love to develop that into one large facility that we can use for numerous species. Of course, we're exploring what that all looks like. We've looked at other fairs, but just enhancing that and making it easier for people to show, people to come, and our traffic flow in that area. So this is really a study for us to explore that. And then if we come up with a good plan and find that it's going to work for us, then we will go back and we will ask for the money to produce this facility.
More to look forward to, especially in keeping agriculture at the forefront of Wisconsin State Fair. Anything else you want to add, Sherry, about the egg side of fair before I let you go?
I'm so excited. I think that we have such a great egg show here for every type of species, and it's always great to see the youth out having fun.
And that brings back fond memories for Sherry when she used to show animals at the Wisconsin State Fair. Sherry Black along with us with all that we can look forward to this year at Wisconsin State Fair and the following years as more improvements are made to Egg Village. Sherry Black is the CEO of Wisconsin State Fair Park. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Hey, Wisconsin, are you feeling summer? Then it's time to feel cheesy. It's time to feel good. July 31st through August 10th, only at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular.
You know, we've got more heat coming again this week, and I hope it does not deter you from attending some of our county fairs. We've got plenty. Racine County Fair, Washington County Fair, Rock County Fair, Columbia County Fair, to name just a few. And it's not just the big animals that suffer in the heat. It's also our smaller animals, like the poultry and the rabbits. And those kids are working really hard to make sure the animals are kept comfortable and in condition for the fair. Wisconsin State Rabbit Breeders Association President Barb Sims says those kids are putting things like frozen water bottles in the rabbit hutch to allow for some comfort on hot days and also to make sure that they don't blow their coat, she explains.
A rabbit can blow their coat in a matter of hours. You can take them to the show, take them to the fair, and you think that they're really looking in just prime condition of their fur, and it gets hot and muggy, and the stress of being at the fair, the coat's long gone. the main thing is just try and keep your animals cool. Ear movement is very important. Fans help a great deal. There's not many county fairs that your small animal buildings are air-conditioned, so you just have to deal with it.
Barb Sims, she is the president of the Wisconsin State Rabbit Breeders Association. So if you're walking around the county fair and you see a frozen water bottle in a rabbit hutch, that's because they lay against it and hopefully keep their hair and don't blow their coat, which is part of the evaluation process for judging. She said kids are also using frozen tiles, ceramic tiles, that they'll put in the cage so the bunnies can lay on top of that, too. And try to stay cool. Creative. That's what those kids are, for sure. Well, markets and overnight electronic trade, I wish they'd get creative looking at world opportunities that might be unfolding. Commodities a little lower right now. Currently, we've got December new crop corn down a penny at 419. November new crop beans are down a nickel at 1019. September wheat currently 2 cents lower at 539. December's down to 559. No change yesterday on our barrel cheese, but 40-pound block cheese did gain a quarter of a cent, 164.5. Double A butter was unchanged Thursday as well. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's down 2 currently, 1724. September right now unchanged, 1749, 100 weight. Hey, we know that the winter wheat harvest has begun across a good tier of southern Wisconsin. If you're one of the growers that's already harvested a field, feel free to share your observations. Our talk text line is open for you right now, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276, your direct communication artery to me. Go ahead and use it now. Aubrey Schlimgen with a Century Farm celebration up next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported last fall that Maine voters approved ballot question 1, limiting contributions to super PACs spending money in state elections. It passed with massive voter support, but like the state's foreign influence ban, was ruled as likely unconstitutional. That's what organizers hoped would happen. The ballot question reads, do you want to set a $5,000 limit for giving to political action committees that spend money independently to support or defeat candidates for office? The act also required super PAC donors to be disclosed. A First Circuit Federal District Court ruled July 15th that both provisions violated free speech protections and pointed to the Citizens United, Buckley v. Valeo, and other past U.S. Supreme Court decisions. Harvard Law professor Lawrence Lessig argues that large contributions to PACs risk quid pro quo corruption of supported candidates, even if a candidate isn't directly speaking with the super PAC. Elon Musk's America PAC and crypto industry super PAC support of Donald Trump are recent examples. Lessig said in 2023, when the initiative was announced, that it was designed to force the U.S. Supreme Court to answer whether contributions to super PACs can be regulated by states in the same way state candidate contributions are limited. The case will next be appealed in the First Circuit, then could reach the U.S. Supreme Court in late 2026. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, free ticket Friday, a four-pack of tickets up for grabs for the hottest team in baseball. And Dan Schaefer is going to help us recombobulate. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Over with agricultural highlights. Again, Midwest Farm Report, fabulous farm babe on social media. Well, as we wrap it up on a finally Friday morning, it is our pleasure to share stories of farm families all across the state celebrating 100 or 150 years of ownership on the same land, the same farmstead. And this morning, Aubrey Schlimgen takes us to Jefferson County to celebrate One Century Farm.
Making lifelong friends from across the country and even the world can contribute to an abundance of lifelong memories. Some even taking you off the farm for the first time and seeing something you have never seen before. That was the case for Sandy Crossman of Bud and Sandy's Registered Brown Swiss in Jefferson County. They are celebrating their century farm this year, and Sandy tells us more about the family's history and their significant milestones.
Well, Walter R. Crossman purchased the farm in 1925. It was the front half of the Sands farm, which included all the buildings and the barn, and the farm also had two houses on it. Walter R.'s son, Walter J., who we called Bud, started farming with his dad his senior year of high school. After Bud's marriage, knowing the farm had to get bigger to support two families, they built onto the north end of the barn, remodeled inside, and built an attached side shed for heifers, calving pen, and a bullpen, and also a silo. Luckily, we were able to rent more land from two neighboring farms. Bud and Sandy then purchased a farm in 78. Getting larger meant bigger equipment, more cows, having good Holsteins. They decided to purchase a registered Brown Swiss to increase the butter fat, but then learned how to inseminate his cows so he could pick the semen that would do the best job for that particular cow. Liking the Brown Swiss, he then purchased more good Brown Swiss, which really increased the pounds of milk and butter fat. Now, no more worries about a bull, so he also sold that. As years passed, Bud and Sandy's children were good helpers on the farm, so they got involved in 4-H, FFA, the school sports, and church activities. Now we really became a good USA working farm family. At the county and state fairs, both kids got several blue ribbons and even a grand champion, Brown Swiss. At the county fair, our daughter Jody had her picture taken with her Brown Swiss calf, and the picture was put on the cover of the Hordes Dairyman magazine. She received three pen pal letters from that picture, one from the state of Maine, one from Australia, and one from France. She had the chance to meet all but the girl from France. Lo and behold, Bud even got a letter from his high school ag teacher, who now lived in and taught in Nigeria. He wrote to congratulate Bud and his daughter. Bud really loved the Brown Swiss, so by increasing his herd, he joined a PTR program, and in 1984 won the Small Herd Award, which he received his award in Nashville, Tennessee, the first vacation he had kid went 33 years without missing a milking before that. Bud also loved horses and so always had a horse or two around the farm. Jody loved all animals like her mom, and Brian also got into horses. So sometimes thought it was old McDonald's farm. But got into miniature horses and drove in parades and took them to nursing homes and such. People just loved them. Our son Brian and daughter Jody carried on the love of horses, each owning several of their own. Nonetheless, Jody still loved her cows and Brian loved the field work. Having hosted many 4-H and FFA events, we also had visitors from the states and other countries who came to see a small U.S. family farm. Being good stewards of the land, building a good herd of cows with great records, and interest in two brown Swiss bulls to be proven, no wonder Bud was an outstanding farmer in our community. Now we have only one male peacock who has free range of the farm, two miniature horses left on the farm, and our son has two Arabian horses on the farm that he had built the horse barn and arena for. We had a great time loving the farm and a great 100 years just in a nutshell. Still, I still live on the farm and love it, but Bud passed away 2 years ago.
That was Sandy Crossman of Bud and Sandy's Registered Brown Swiss of Jefferson County celebrating their century farm this year. While reminiscing on a life well lived, even though she didn't come from a farm, she loved the animals and loved being a farm wife. And the community around her, she says, are the ones to thank for that. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Aubrey Schlumgen.
This is the...
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Your next favorite read isn't that far away. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And Saturday, July 26th, from 10 until 3, it's the Art Garage's Summer Reads Book Fair, where you get to meet authors, explore regional publications, and celebrate a large amount of literary works and genres. The best part is this is free and completely open to the public. So if you're looking for more ways to be involved other than just attending, head to WGBW.FM and click events.
The real problem facing rural health care, next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. We've been hearing for some time that rural health care providers are struggling financially because of dwindling numbers of patients to treat. Alan Morgan, CEO of the National Rural Health Association, says more than half of rural hospitals are operating at a loss. But not for the reasons you might think.
There's a myth out there that these rural hospitals are closing because of declining life expectancies and because of workforce shortages. And if you look where the rural hospitals have closed over the last 20 years, you see that it is not in the areas where declining populations have happened. It's actually in the areas where you have a clustering of patients with high health needs and the inability to pay.
In a recent webinar from the Farm Foundation, Morgan went on to say some good things have developed as a result of the situation.
And the story that isn't being told properly about this is because of these challenges, it's forcing innovation. And I can tell you almost every major innovation in our healthcare system over the last 20 years has its roots in rural America. This challenge is creating innovation hubs across our small communities.
There's a link to the webinar on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr joins the show with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's ice cream month, and did you know you can celebrate at this area stop along the state's ice cream trail? Here's the scoop.
Now, in Wisconsin, we've got 49 different licensed ice cream plants that are making it. But this map focuses in on unique stops in Wisconsin. Every one of them's got a story.
That's Pam Yonke, known as the Fabulous Farm Babe. She says the current trail includes 20 locations, each one from Hayward to La Crosse, Madison, and then north to Appleton, Green Bay, and Door County, dishes out delicious, locally made ice cream.
I've been to one or two, but I'm surprised by how few I've gotten a chance to visit, and I'm a pretty big ice cream fan.
Find the trail at the website gatherwisconsin.com and add your own local favorite there, too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche will sit down with Jeffrey Epstein confidant Ghislaine Maxwell for a second day of questioning today as leaders in both parties continue pushing for more files in the case. Here's ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
President Trump is calling the Jeffrey Epstein controversy a scam, accusing Democrats of using unreleased court records to distract from his political success. Trump comparing the investigation to the so-called Russia hoax, saying, quote, they have gone absolutely crazy, adding, as things are revealed and I hope will take place quickly, you will see that it is yet another Democrat con job.
Extreme temperatures slamming about 140 million Americans today with triple-digit heat indexes from Texas up through Maine. Israeli and U.S. officials expressing outrage over France's announcement that it will join more than 100 other nations in recognizing Palestinian statehood. French President Emmanuel Macron will make the announcement next in September. This is ABC News.